Wing TV, with Victor Thorne and Lisa Giuliani. The revolution is being televised.
Hello, it's Monday, June 6th, and you're watching Wing TV. I'm Lisa Giuliani.
And I'm Victor Thorne. Welcome to Wing TV. We hope everyone had a good weekend. Mm-hmm. It's great to be back. We're glad you're letting us into your homes, onto your computer monitors. And we just love to be back here. So, a lot of things on the schedule here. Now, throughout the rest of the week, folks, we got some blockbuster stuff. So you better make sure you keep tuning in every day this week to Wing TV. We're not going to play our hand yet, but there is some big stuff on the horizon. So, one thing, Lisa, is, you know, we're very critical a lot of times of our government and the things that go on in this country. But on the other hand, they just had another anniversary of the Tiananmen Square Massacre. Right. You remember that. And the Chinese authorities are doing so much to prevent any kind of publicity or recognition of this event. They're clamping down on the media, on religion, political activists. And what would you describe, say, the 10th anniversary of the Oklahoma City bombing as? Would you consider it a full-blown police state?
There was a heavy police presence there, but they were basically just standing there. Yep. And they didn't hassle anyone, and we only really did speak to two or three policemen the whole time we were there, and they were polite.
Right.
Now I wouldn't say it was a, you know, a riot-type situation.
No. I would say they were monitoring events, and they were very well established there.
Just
they,
keeping watch.
Yeah, they made their presence well known. Now, in China, on the other hand, not only did they crack down on the media, religion, political activists, they also were cracking down on internet chat rooms. There were foreign reporters being arrested, newspapers being suppressed. There was an international conference on democracy, of all things, that was canceled. And the people that they knew...
Wouldn't want to talk about democracy.
Yeah, God forbid. And actually the people that were considered dissidents that had the potential to start trouble, what they either did was confine them to their homes or else take them entirely out of their city.
House arrest or incarceration.
Right. So this is this is the reality of China.
Yeah.
And, you know, China tries to play its cards as being better on human rights, and they're starting to become a world player and so forth. This is still the same old communist red China that has always been, folks. And
it's happening there on such a grand scale. So when police say we're experiencing this all-over police state here in America, all you have to do is even compare us with China, what's going on there now. And you see, we're not experiencing things like that.
Right, that's the real deal over there. And when you want to talk about a police state in China, that's what they have, and also North Korea. Now, Henry Kissinger, he always seems to keep popping up, doesn't he?
You know, like a bad penny.
Exactly. Well, he's thrown his hand in now on peak oil. He's making his opinion known, and guess what he's calling
it? Asked his opinion.
Yeah, really. Well, here's what he's calling peak oil now, the great game. Now, to these people, like Henry Kissinger, Zygmunt Brzezinski, Samuel P. Huntington, the Rockefellers, the Rothschilds, the Bilderbergs, they look at this as a big game to them. It's like this gigantic global chessboard, and they're positioning all the different pieces, and, and when he says that, this is the great game, he means it just like he says it.
So what did Kissinger, the war criminal, have to say?
Well, he says this is the thing that's going to lead now. Well, his big thing was that in the past, the old order, and he is right about this, that there was really, it was a bilateral world. There was the United States and there was Russia. And these two had an agreement that they wouldn't blow the world up. He says now we have a multipolar world. In other words, a lot of different nations have nukes and
have
more.
Capability.
Right. And more in the future are going to get it. And they all have different sensibilities, different cultures and so forth. And he said the whole complexion of the world has changed. He's right about that. But I was just piqued by how he says this is the great game now. So, in that same area, you remember Syria. Israel said that about a week ago now, I guess, that they launched 3 Scud missiles.
And, fantastic, huh?
Yeah. Now, this is coming from Israel,
of
course.
Where?
Yeah. Well, these were test missiles. Now, Syria came out a couple days ago and denies the whole thing. They said that they didn't fire any of these Scud missiles on May 27th. So, we have to wonder who, again, is telling the truth.
Well, there should be some kind of imagery, technology, satellite, something.
Right. Yeah, but considering that this week upcoming, there's going to be another anniversary, that of the USS Liberty.
Right.
Now, how many lies has Israel told about their deliberate attack on the USS Liberty?
And there's going to be a press conference this week by the USS Liberty crewman.
Oh, fantastic.
So I'm sure that's going to draw some ire.
Right. Now, that's the anniversary is Wednesday, correct?
June 8th.
Right. June 8th.
It was June 8th, 1967.
Yeah. So if you're not familiar with the USS Liberty, go to the Wing TV homepage. Mm-hmm. There's a link there. Or just punch it into Google, and you'll see what Israel is truly capable of doing.
Yeah, deliberately attacked one of our Navy ships.
Yeah.
And tried to sink it.
Did everything in their power. And we've interviewed how many people now from the Liberty?
Five or six,
yeah. And we'll be doing more in the future, so that's something to keep your eyes on. Now, let's look domestically a little bit. Washington, D.C. Ever since 1975, there's been a law where none of the citizens within the D.C. city limits are allowed to have any kind of firearm whatsoever. Well, I shouldn't say anybody.
Yeah, I was going to correct you.
Guess who is allowed to have
guns?
Congressmen. Congressmen are actually allowed to have handguns in their offices. So nobody else in the city, except for, of course, the policemen and the military and so forth. But none of the citizens are allowed to have any kind of firearms.
What do they need them for? Because they don't even meet with the citizens.
I know. Citizens aren't even allowed in there.
So to shoot each other?
Yeah, well, but then again, it shows again just this blatant hypocrisy that's happening in our nation's capital. Another development, since we're on this subject, is that the anti-gun crowd now wants to put serial numbers on every single bullet.
Good luck.
Yeah. Now, this is going to add, they said, a half a penny to the cost of every bullet, plus it's going to be an extra charge for the gun dealers, too.
What about all the guys who have guns, and they have, like, arsenals of guns, and they've got all their ammunition? What about all the bullets that are already out there?
Yeah. Well, I guess they figure that from this point forward, this is what they want to do. I don't know if this will ever pass.
Worthless.
But just, again, this is what's on the horizon. This is what the anti-gun cabal is up to.
Got nothing better to spend the money on.
Yeah. Now, we criticize the White House a lot. Very much because they deserve to
be.
You know? But every once in a while they do something good, and we're not afraid to report when they do something good. Namely, they rejected the release of Israeli spy Jonathan Pollard. Thank goodness. This guy has done more damage to this country than probably anybody else except for this Ames guy.
But they gave Walmart a free pass.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Yeah. Now, when Laura Bush went over to the Middle East a couple weeks ago, she was being jeered by not only the Arabs, by not only the Muslims, but also by the Israeli citizens, and unbelievably,
was the purpose of her even going there?
Well, I'll bet you she doesn't go again, because they
Does she even know?
No. Well, they were thinking that if she goes over there and smiles pretty, that she could somehow be a peacekeeper or smooth everything over. Well, it turned out to be a PR disaster. And Laura came back. I mean, she was like a deer in the headlights.
Traumatized.
You know, just traumatized. But the Israeli citizens, and this is what I couldn't believe, they were jeering at Laura Bush, saying, "Release Pollard now. Release Pollard now." They want us, United States, to release a spy that was spying for them on us.
So that was a totally worthless, useless trip that cost how much in taxpayer dollars?
Who knows how much?
For her and her entourage.
Yeah. But, I mean, we give Israel already $10 billion a year, and now they want to
get a job.
They want us to release their spy back to them. It's unbelievable. And it just shows the mind frame that these people have. Now, other news events. Joe Biden. Mm-hmm. He says shut down Guantanamo. I don't know.
Who's going to listen to him?
Yeah. I mean, it's probably not a bad idea, but I seriously doubt Donald Rumsfeld's going to jump right to
it. Why aren't the rest of our Congress critters joining in that call?
Yeah. Now, the Democrats are coming out again, and what they're looking for now, Lisa, is some kind of political wizard or some kind of political guru like the Republicans have in Karl Rove. And they're looking, and they're holding these big conferences, and they're trying to find someone that'll bring the left.
Do they have any candidates?
They have candidates. I read their names, and in all honesty, I'd never even heard of any of them.
Uh-huh.
So I don't think they're making much progress now. But I'll give some advice to the Democrats. If you want to start having some prominence again, here's the number one thing. Stand up and be men.
Yeah.
Now, of course, at the top of the Democratic leadership, they know the whole thing is just political theater, a scam job. Mm-hmm. But it's the lower level people. And before the election, how many days did we come out here harping on the Democrats?
Like,
every day?
Every single day.
Every
yeah.
day, saying, if you want to win this election, if you want to take down George Bush...
Very simple.
Yeah.
Tell the truth about 9/11.
Tell the truth about 9/11. And also, their other trump card was, bring out the Bush-Nazi connection. Their family connections back to even before...
The Bush crime family.
Right, before World War II. We
right.
said it day after day after day. Bring this information
up. We gave them all the information. Draw up a plan. The plan to tell the truth.
Yeah. And
of course,
they wouldn't do it. So now they're all crybabying over spilled milk. And mm-hmm. now they're looking for their version of Karl Rove.
Well, Barbara Streisand.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the way I see it is, if they don't have any balls, they don't deserve anything. I mean, the Republicans have no problem whatsoever steamrolling over them every chance they get. Then they had this Bill O'Reilly thing laid in their lap
right.
last year that they could have ran with. They could have
all
pounded
these
this
missed
guy.
Opportunities.
And they put their tails between their legs and do nothing. So, you know, keep looking, keep searching. And in 2008 and 2012, you guys aren't going to get back in the White House. You guys aren't going to win Congress. Unless, of course, George Bush destroys the world so badly that even
it
Satan...
It doesn't even matter.
Yeah,
right?
That even Satan could win, you know. One last thing. Then we're going to talk about Walmart a little bit, plus this movie that was on last night. Did you hear about this lake over in Russia, Lisa, that disappeared?
Disappeared.
It disappeared.
Into the earth?
Into the earth. It was a 45-foot lake over in Russia.
Uh-huh.
And it was a small, sleepy community.
What, like overnight?
Overnight. Overnight. It absolutely... And it was in the newspaper. So, the you know, some of the town folks that would come, that would go fishing there, they woke up one morning, walked out...
Yeah.
And the lake is gone.
Well, where'd it go?
It was some kind of, like, sinkhole or
it's
something.
Like a drain?
It drained. That's what it did. It drained. There were, like, fish flopping around... Like in their death throes, and the entire 45...
Makes it easier to get dinner.
Yeah. Now, 45 feet, that's like a 4.5-story building. That's how deep it was. It disappeared. But the weird thing was that they were finding fish now in rivers miles and miles
uh-huh.
downstream from
so
it.
So they went like under the ground and came back
and
up?
And came up into the stream.
Into another...
And they said,
water?
Yeah, and they said that these kind of fish were never found in that river before. So it was very bizarre, and it just shows what kind of inexplicable things happen in our world.
Yeah, I mean, look what we have in the White House. That's inexplicable, too.
That is. And before him, Bill Clinton, that was inexplicable.
That was inexplicable.
And you know what? We might have a Hillary monster that's inexplicable in 2008.
Beyond inexplicable.
Yeah, and that boggles my mind much more than a disappearing lake. All right.
Satan for president.
You know what? Let's hold off on the Walmart stuff for a little bit. Last night we watched a movie. It was called Oil Storm. And we rarely watch TV, but we saw this commercial.
Right.
And what was your impression?
It was on FX, wasn't it?
FX on Channel 20 in Pennsylvania here. What was your impression of it?
If I was the average Joe couch potato, I would have been freaking out of my mind.
That's right. That's the same impression I got because the scare tactics and propaganda... were just overwhelming, and it all fit into peak oil, right? So,
Rupert should have been clever.
Oh, yeah. I'm curious to see if he comments on this movie.
Did he produce that?
Yeah, really. Now, this all happened from some disasters, right? So how did it start? What was the first thing? It was a hurricane.
Right.
A hurricane happened. Then there was this terror takeover.
A hurricane that took out an oil port.
Yeah.
At one of our ports, the pipelines, it destroyed a port.
Right.
So there was an oil shortage.
Yeah, then over in, I think, Saudi Arabia, there was this terror takeover. Then there was a big ship collision down in Houston, or outside.
At another port that was taking the influx of ships from the one that got destroyed.
Right. And finally then, there was a refinery that was blown up.
Right.
In Saudi Arabia. So all of these factors
with
then...
With 100-some-odd Americans killed.
Right. So, it ends up that oil shoots up to $153 a barrel.
And extraordinarily long, long lines, people trying to get gas at the pumps,
yeah.
and people getting into fights and
yeah.
and cops being called. It was just a mess.
And
gas was like over $8 a gallon.
Yeah, I think it topped out. Premium was over $8. I think the regular was like $7.49 a gallon or something like that. And you could see
people
it throughout the movie.
Out.
It just climbed 3, 4, 5, 6. And I kept thinking, is this what's called a self-fulfilling prophecy? In other words, are they laying this stuff out mm-hmm. there just to like have people accustomed?
And they were showing how old people were dying
yeah.
of frostbite in the winter because they didn't have enough money to pay their
they
energy bills.
It.
They couldn't afford heat for their apartments and homes. And so you see in all the repercussions of what would happen if we ran out of oil.
Right, and it's the same gloom and doom scare tactics is in an article in a book by, I can't remember the guy's name, but the name of the book is The Long Emergency. And he was on, I think, with Art Bell doing his whole gloom and doom and basically saying, you know, the whole civilized industrial society is going
right.
to fall, collapse.
But the one line that stood out to us
right.
was the one where the guy says, the only one who can solve the problem is governance.
Right, yeah. The exact line was, he says, people could only be calmed down by the government. Now, what more do you need to just verify this conditioning propaganda? I was telling someone today that Goebbels and the whole propaganda ministry in Nazi Germany would be applauding. They'd be proud of this movie for what it's doing.
Yeah,
and
but throughout the whole thing, all you saw was the government screwing up one thing
yeah.
after another, and it was extending the period people had to go without fuel.
Right. So what you had then, you had these gas lines. You had shortages, stock market chaos. Then, of course, you had
making deals with the Saudis
yeah.
to get oil immediately at top dollar.
Yeah.
Thanks, America.
But on top of that, you had the neocon element
yeah.
because you had all this Arab bashing, plus this very pro-war machine element
mm-hmm.
that was pure propaganda. Then you had these elements where there was going to be martial law enacted
mm-hmm.
because
right.
of these executive orders that were coming down from the White House.
Terrorist acts against Americans in
yeah.
foreign countries.
So it all boiled down to, though, the fuel shortage, peak oil.
Right.
And as we said, I'll repeat it again. Panic could only be calmed down by the government.
Uh-huh.
You see what they're doing? They want Big Brother to step in and order out of chaos. I mean,
right.
how simple
yeah,
is it?
Yeah, it's a perfect illustration of it.
Yeah. One other frightening element was that they had this Zygmunt Brzezinski-type character there.
Oh, Sasha?
Sasha.
Steminier?
Yeah.
Steminier?
And basically what they're saying was, well, after all the Americans in the government screwed everything up,
right.
they had to bring in this Zygmunt.
And this guy said that he had a better relationship. He could get deals out of the Saudis better than the president himself.
Yeah. But the big thing
who is
was,
this guy?
Oh, I know. But the big point was that because the stupid Americans
yeah.
couldn't take care of their own country,
they had to pick a foreigner.
A foreigner who was definitely this New World Order type.
Was he like Russian?
Yeah, he was Russian, and they made him chairman of the foreign or chairman of foreign affairs advisory.
Right, and they decided he was the one person who could go and cut the deal with the Saudis.
Yeah, to save America.
Right.
So do you see all of this stuff? And one other thing they did was they wanted to, or they were going to nationalize all the farms
mm-hmm.
and the independent truckers.
Right.
So they wanted to just take control of everything. So there were no, you know, independent factors out there. And when we talk about Walmart, we're going to bring this up too. We wanted to talk about it today. There's a new movie coming out by a guy named Robert Greenwald. And he's the guy that made the movie called Outfoxed that
mm-hmm.
shows their whole agenda.
Right.
But we're running out of time today, but Walmart, when you see how they're fitting into this picture, it should scare the hell out of you.
Hey, just so you know, last year Walmart took in $288.2 billion.
Yeah. And, I mean, they're the industry leader in outsourcing. If it wasn't for them, and people say, oh, well, Target and Kmart and everyone else does it. But there's something called an industry leader. That's the one that's at the forefront that kind of sets the agenda and the tone. And when you walk into Walmart and see that 80% of the products are now being made in China or other third world slave
mm-hmm.
markets, well, naturally, everybody else has to follow suit or they go under. And what Walmart's trying to do, well, let's real quickly, what they're getting into is banking, the food industry, gasoline sales, auto sales.
One of their stores actually has a Department of Homeland Security.
Oh, really? In it.
Yeah.
Jeez.
I think in Arkansas.
And also pharmacies. So when you think, what are the needs? What do people need in life? I'm not talking about wants. I'm talking about needs. Well, Walmart wants to get a monopoly on all of it. They want to get it on fuel, gasoline, food, drugs from the pharmacy, and banking, money. So basically, everything in the world that people need, Walmart wants to monopolize. And at that point when that happens, get ready for the chip in the back of the hand and the big brother mark of the beast.
They just settled for like $11 million. They were charged and like accused in 20 different states.
Yeah.
Or 20 different offenses regarding hundreds of illegal aliens
right.
that they've been hiring to clean their stores, and they settled
without
admitting any wrongdoing, of course.
And I think, I can't remember the exact figure, but I think somebody broke that down once, and they said it was like 15 minutes worth of sales.
It's actually equaling, the check they cut to get out of the deal equaled 20 minutes of their income for the entire company.
Unbelievable. So, folks, Walmart, if you go to Walmart, you're like the cow that's going into the slaughterhouse.
Right, we boycott Walmart.
Completely, and you should do. So, folks, we're going to be back tomorrow. We're going to probably do this show earlier. We got some other things going on, but we'll see you tomorrow. Keep your eyes open.
Don't miss it.
Yeah, don't miss this one. There's a lot going on.